Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We are Jeremy. I'm here too. Lots to get to today. It's a great show today.
All right, they're gonna fix Jeremy. You can't hear him. Sounds like a robot. Jeremy's finding this on the fly right now. So we'll start talking some Texans. They get the victory. Jeremy will be back with us momentarily once they get that situated here in just a second. So Joe, Brian, and Jeremy here with you today as the Texans get the victory. They dominate the Baltimore Ravens. There's obviously a lot to get into today. We'll go through all the good stuff that we saw from the offense, what we saw from the defense. We'll go over what you can't ignore, what you would in victory and what you wouldn't in defeat. I said that totally wrong because I don't normally say that. That's Jeremy's line. We'll talk some college football, the biggest news and storylines across the NFL. And Jeremy's back.
My bad.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. You sound great now.
Yeah. Yeah, modern technology, I guess. We'll try to stay on it. But happy Monday. I don't know whenever I cut out. But lots to get to today. NFL stuff,
thanks
college
time,
football
Jeremy.
Stuff. We won't ignore in victory what we would in defeat.
That's like, what I was trying to say.
We don't do that. What did you say?
I think I just said something very wrong. I just didn't say it in the correct order, I think.
That's okay. My internet crapped out, so it is what it is. But Texans win in convincing fashion yesterday, 44-10. Everybody's back on the train now, by the way. Everybody's apologizing to Nick Caley. They did. They did. They got it back. Kalen Bullock said that, too. So, look, I mean, I don't want to demean the win, and I'm not going to. You go on the road in the NFL, no matter how depleted a team is, and you get a victory – that is significant. You go do something that you've never done in franchise history. That is significant. You just absolutely throttle them. You kill them. You win by 34. That's significant. I'm pleased with this win, Joe. How could you not be?
You should absolutely be pleased with this win. You beat the team that's in front of you. That's all you can do. You can make all the excuses for Baltimore and the world. They're valid. But this is what a team is supposed to do when you're playing a team that's as beat up and injured as the Baltimore Ravens are. You have to crush them. This is what you should have done. It would be more concerning if the Texans would have won this game 21-14 or 17-10 because the offense didn't have success. The only drive they didn't score on was the last drive of the game. They scored on every drive. They were 8-for-8. They did everything that they were supposed to do in this football game. So I take nothing away from it. There are things that, yes, you don't have to be all bought in on after this game, but they dominated the Ravens, and that's exactly what they were supposed to do.
Not that our hope like carries any weight. Like, the Texans don't care what our hope is like, right? They don't care about our feelings about them, nor should they. Like, I'm not saying this in a negative way, but for me, they instilled hope again. Like, this is what needed to be done, though. Like, if you want a walk-off field goal, if you want 23-20, Kyahmi Fairbairn hit a 40-yard field goal to win it, I would still have the similar questions about this team that I had prior to the game. And look, I still need to see a lot more. They beaten the Titans, one of the worst teams in the NFL that needed a fluke to win their first game yesterday. The Baltimore Ravens are booing their longtime head coach, who is a Super Bowl winner, off the field. They don't have half of their roster that they started the season with. So, like, you have to keep that in mind. But at the very minimum, for me, this is the type of win that they needed to instill hope. Okay, what does a good team do when the Baltimore Ravens are without Lamar Jackson and half of their defensive starters? They go into Baltimore and they win convincingly. They did that. How about an offense that has struggled? That's one of the worst offenses in the NFL, at least in scoring points, a bunch of different metrics. What do they need to do to instill hope in their fan base? They need to clobber them and score a 40-burger. How about a quarterback that looked good against Tennessee in the second half? What does he have to do to look like he did his rookie season? What he did yesterday. So this is the type of performance across the board, offense, defense, special teams, across the board, that they had to have to instill hope in the fan base. And now that they've had it, I'm seeing a lot of hope within the fan base, which is a good place to be heading into the bye after an 0-3 start.
Yeah, I mean, watching your favorite teams play with no hope is not an enjoyment in sports. It's pretty much, honestly, it's the worst place you can be. I can't imagine being one of these teams being a Ravens fan right now. Like there's not a lot of hope because of where their season's going. You got the Rams next week. If you lose that one, you're 1-5. I have hope. I don't know if I have as much hope as you have after this game, because I still want to be pretty reserved after watching them, you know, watching the team they're playing. And again, I give them credit for what they did. They deserve it. And there are a lot of encouraging things we saw in this game, but it's 5 good quarters of football. So I have hope, but it's not a lot right now still.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a ton of faith in this team, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that my hope is higher than your hope, per se, because I need to see them do it against playoff-caliber teams. Like, they did it against the Titans and the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to understand that. It's always, like, one of those sayings that it's never as good as it is, or seems to be, and it's never as bad as it seems to be. I feel like the first 3 weeks of the season were the latter. Like, it's never as bad as it seems to be. That was the first 3 weeks, because you were playing competitive games. You're right there in them. But then also, the last game and a half, it's probably not as good as it seems to be. Like, you're not going to hang 40 burgers on every single team on your schedule. You're not going to rack up 400 yards of offense against the remainder of the teams on your schedule. But it's what you had to do against Baltimore. So, like, praise that, while also, like, going forward, something that you have to see continue.
Yeah, and even like they've won their last two games. What is this, 70-10 combined score the last two games? That's not typical in the NFL. And you're taking, but the positive here, and the reason why there is for hope again, though, is because this is what if the season started differently, to your point, and they would have won maybe just the Jacksonville game, and they had these performances, we'd be feeling much better about this team. Because you lost two games by a combined 5 points, and then you lost by a touchdown to the Jags. And then to do this, to follow up this performance the following 2 weeks, and specifically on offense, like that to me is where there is the most hope. Because I don't have hope on defense. I know they're awesome. We know it. It's a matter of fact at this point. They're going to control the clock. They're going to be better than pretty much every offense they face this year, the Texans defense. But the offense is showing signs of things. Okay, this looks much better. For C.J. Stroud to be as efficient as he was in this game, to only have 4 incompletions, you're still playing guys who are getting NFL paychecks. Like that's not an easy thing to accomplish, even if it was in a preseason game.
Yeah. Offensively, this is like where you have to kind of like, okay, this is the competition, but at the same time, like, well, what do you see? I've been really pleased with the way Nick Haley has run this offense over the last game and a half. Like, they're doing a lot of the things that I wanted to see them do with Stroud, and Stroud is doing the things that I wanted to see him do. Because the first 3 weeks, and a lot of this is, I mean, it's not just on one individual. We all know that. But there was a lot of things the first 3 weeks where it's like, okay, C.J. Stroud's going backwards every single time he drops back. He's running backwards. He's trying to escape. That's on the offensive line. That's on C.J. Stroud. That's on the receivers not getting open. But what we've seen over the last game and a half, it's like, okay, they're running the ball pretty well. Yesterday, they averaged over 5 yards per carry. Okay, C.J. Stroud is getting rid of the football quickly, and he's completing a high percentage of the passes. Because I really wanted the quick game to be something that we saw from C.J. Stroud, and I thought we would see that with Nick Haley. We didn't see that in the first 3 weeks. We saw that yesterday, and we saw that in the second half against Tennessee. In fact, I saw this like nerdy stat, which I like to pay attention to at times. C.J. Stroud yesterday set a career low average time to throw, under 2.5 seconds. What does that tell you? It doesn't tell you that the offensive line was generating, allowing pressures. It tells you that C.J. Stroud and Nick Haley were getting the ball out of C.J. Stroud's hands quickly, which is something you have to do behind a, you know, less than halfway talented offensive line. Mm-hmm. So, like, the things that they're doing are the things that I wanted to see, which is why that encourages me more than the score does, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think, too, with that, I like the fact that 8 different guys caught passes in this game. He's spreading the love around. And especially the quick time part that's interesting is he had so much time that when he wanted to be back there, he had plenty of time to sit back in the pocket and had clean pockets throughout this game. That's one where that is what I would say, going back to the hope word here, gives me the most hope, is what we've seen from Nick Haley. It looks like he has figured out and maybe has a better understanding of what this offense can be good at. That to me is something that over the last 2 weeks stands out in a big way. Where just the QuickTime stuff, I'm with you. That is the most important thing. Because this offensive line, when they play a different team, I don't expect it to be this great of a performance. I think, what, Ariante had one pressure allowed in this entire game?
Yeah.
But getting the ball out quick, that works no matter who you're playing.
You're helping the offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, pressure is whenever a guy gets around the quarterback, right? If you're getting rid of the ball at 2.5 seconds as opposed to 3 seconds, you're going to get pressured less. Like, that's just math. This is what we talked about all offseason, about scheming around a bad offensive line. Mm-hmm. They're doing it. And look, maybe Kaylee was trying to do that all along, and C.J. Stroud had trouble, like, you know, picking it up early. Maybe that's there. Maybe it's lack of competition. Look, maybe it's lack of competition. Although Tennessee's pass rush isn't awful. Baltimore's pass rush yesterday was really, really bad. But even whenever Stroud's escaping now, like he had that long 30-yard run, and he's like, yeah, look, he's like Lamar Jackson as Lamar Jackson watches along. This is something that I wanted to see. I don't mind Stroud running, rather him not take hits, which, you know, he did a good job of not taking hits yesterday. But whenever I see him run, I want him to escape from the middle of the offensive line. I want him to escape through the A gap, through the B gap. I don't need these, like, long rollouts where he's drifting back like Mahomes and then eating these 15-yard sacks, or best-case scenario, he's flinging it up and out of bounds to just throw it away. Like, this is what I envisioned with this offense. Now they have to showcase it to all of us, of course, against better competition. Here was C.J. Stroud yesterday, by the way. He was he addressed the getting slower thing that he was talking about last week with, like, all the weight and stuff. And he got pretty snappy at the media member.
C.J., leading up to today, you had a press conference saying that when you use your legs, you feel like you're old.
That's not what I said.
I'm sorry. I need to misquote.
You're good.
Yeah, but you know, saying you feel you're getting older and using your legs. You had a big game today for about 20 years.
I was literally joking. You know, everybody takes everything out of context nowadays. But it's all good. You know, I'm. You know, and if you watch the video or watch the press, I literally said I'm not in my grown man body yet, and I'm not wrinkled hair. It's all good.
There you go. He was got a little snappy.
Whoever,
I couldn't figure out who that was.
I don't know who. I don't know if that was a local reporter.
I don't think it was.
Yeah,
I don't think it was a local guy.
Because I don't think there was that many people traveling with the
really?
Team. Yeah.
No, that can't be true.
I don't think there's a lot of these guys. I don't think as many of your media members are traveling. There's not
who doesn't travel?
There's not a lot of people left, Jeremy. Like I think it's like Sarge, Randy, and Aaron Wilson.
You don't think DJ was there?
Oh, DJ, yeah, I forgot.
Jonathan Alexander?
Oh, yep.
I would expect both those guys to be
there.
So those
there, are probably those are the five people who travel,
wait,
I think.
Sarge travels?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah.
Why does that surprise you?
I'm going to save my comments.
He's got a thriving blog and YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
That's not what I said.
Hashtag Sarge.
Hashtag interesting.
I'm a fan of his. Yeah, Stroud was not having any of that question. But he looked good, really good yesterday, man. Like, let's talk about Stroud on the other side. But, like, 23 of 27.
Stroud!
23 of 27. Like, I understand that this is the Baltimore Raven JV offense. But 23 of 27?
Mm-hmm.
80-something percent? He took a shot at Nico Collins on the opening drive. Collins had a step and he missed him. And he was still 23 of 27? Like, there was a lot of good there, man. I understand the Ravens stink. I understand that their defense isn't very good. I remember talking to who the Texans playing week 3 was, the Jags. I remember going back and watching the All-22 of the Jacksonville game. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm seeing some signs. I'm seeing some things that I like. And then all of a sudden, boom, C.J. Stroud blows up in the second half against Tennessee. Yesterday, boom, against the Baltimore Ravens JV.
Shut up, Stroud!
I mean, Gruden's onto something here, guys. 23 of 27. What'd you think of Stroud's performance? What'd you think of the offensive performance? What'd you think of the Texans' performance? 713-780-ESPN. We'll get into some of the big NFL stuff. Who impressed you the most in the NFL this weekend? And then who impressed you the most in
Big Boo?
College football the most this weekend. That was weird, Gronk. Poor Gronk. 713-780-ESPN. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio there. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. We're on Twitter as well, ESPN 975. Joe at Joe George Radio. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. What did you think of the Texans' offense yesterday? A 44-burger, 400 yards of total offense. This Houston Tech, Nick Kaylee Weiss. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I hope that you made a lot of money playing some of the football games these last couple of days. I hope you made a lot of money on Underdog in the NFL yesterday. Football is in full swing, and we love it, and we love Underdog, too. They're the best place to get in on all the action all season long. Play in Texas. It's the best state to play Underdog. Playing an Underdog is so easy. It's so much fun. Pick whether your favorite players are go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns, sacks, and much, much more. You can pick teams on Underdog, too. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. And because I love you and I take care of you, the junkyard, they're giving you, they, not me, they're giving you $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5 on Underdog. Just download the Underdog app, plug in promo code KILLERB, get in on some Monday Night Football, little Kansas City and Jacksonville. Pulling for Kansas City there, aren't we? Unlimited 30% profit boost all through Boostober, too, by the way. 30% profit boost all month long. KC, Jacksonville, how do you feel about ETN? 64.5 rushing yards. Do you like the higher or lower there? Xavier Worthy, bum ankle, but he's going to play. 57.5 receiving yards. You know Ball. Is he going higher or is he going lower? Pat Mahomes, 1.5 passing touchdowns, higher or lower there. You know Ball, go prove it on Underdog. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, Underdog. Make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe, Brian's vibing. No worries. This texter on the, this junkie on the text line, rather. Let's pump the brakes, guys. We played the horrible defenses the last 2 weeks. Let's see how we look against the Colts. I think that's a fair take. I've seen some people like apologizing to Kaylee on the internet. Is that necessary?
No.
713-780-3776. Like, just because it's happened recently, like, it's a little recency bias if you're apologizing to Nick Kaylee twice. He beat the Titans, which they didn't wake up until the second half, maybe even the fourth quarter, and they beat the Baltimore Ravens, who already had the worst defense in the NFL, points allowed, and then missed multiple more starters in yesterday's game on top of being the worst scoring defense in the entire NFL. So I think it's a totally fair take. But there are some positives. There are some positives over the last six quarters of football on the offensive end. Stroud's looking better. Kaylee's looking better as a play caller. Now, for this junkie on the text line, for us, we're going to have to see it against better competition for it to be tangible, real, real winning football. I get it. I get it.
I mean, yeah, even for me, it's I don't think we need to wait till the Colts game for week 13. That's kind of far away. But I would say, like, I look at the 49ers game and the Broncos games coming up.
At Seattle, out of the bye.
They just but Baker just dropped 38 points on them. So, like, I kind of have not similar expectations to this game with the offense, but I'm not scared of Seattle's defense right now.
Fair. I'm looking at it more from, like, a game that's not – like, you're going to be underdog in that game.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be a 2.5, 3-point underdog.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess – and the Seahawks defense has been pretty good so far this year. They haven't played, like, a super stiff level of competition, I would say. I mean, they've played the 49ers, the Steelers, the Saints, the Cardinals, and then the Buccaneers, and they've lost to the two
and Steelers
good
and Niners are pretty good.
Not offensively, the Steelers.
Yeah.
Not crazy.
So
San Francisco didn't, like, have a great offensive scoring output in that game.
Yeah, and that was week one, so it's like I don't take too much away from it. So it's just – but seeing what happened this last week to Seattle's defense, like the first, like, game I'm, like, focused in on for how does this offense look, because I think it's going to be good against Seattle.
Yeah.
It will be the 49ers and Broncos games the following weeks.
That's
those are bigger tests to me than – now, Seattle's defense, if you know, they play Jacksonville this week and then they play you on Monday Night Football. If they shut you down, that's a different conversation. But I think that they should be able to have success against Seattle. So I don't think we have to wait till week 13 when they play the Colts for the first time. But I do I agree with the texter. Like, I think, and now to be fair, I think we're also pumping the brakes ourselves. I don't think we're going like over our skis with what we saw in this game. But Stroud did look much better in the last five quarters of football, and you can extend it to six if you'd like.
Yeah, I would. It might even be five, but we'll go six to make it good math. Agreed. Let's see them execute against good competition. Yeah, but I mean, that's a boring conversation to have because we would be waiting for 2 weeks, like 2 weeks and a day, you know, but this is what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. Like after an 0-3 start, this is exactly what you needed to do. Gain some momentum. You needed to be 2-3 going into the bye. We're not saying that the Texans are playoff bound. We're just saying when you hit the bye point of the year after an 0-3 start, this is exactly what needed to happen, both for their playoff chances and probably the sanity of the fan base, but also the hope that it gives you that maybe that they're figuring some things around. And I agree with your point about like the first good defense you're facing San Francisco, but they will be a steep test. Seattle, just big picture, not just offense, Texans, defense, Seahawks, but that's not going to be an easy game to win. You're going up to Seattle. You're going to be an underdog in that game, coming off a bye Monday night. Crowd's going to be great. But their offense is better than their defense, to your point. 713-780-3776. So I gave you Stroud's line, 23-27, 244, four touchdowns, doesn't turn the ball over. Did take two sacks. But when you assess Stroud, Manny Machado wouldn't like this question, but when you assess C.J. Stroud, what did you think?
I think what I like the most from Stroud right now is he's finding, and this is a credit to Nick Caley too, but I think some of the easier stuff they're finding. Like specifically, I really like what we're seeing with Stroud and Dalton Schultz so far. Like that connection seems to be working back well in their favor. Last year was obviously a struggle for those two guys, but I think being able to find your safety blanket there where you're not getting production from your running back position in terms of that, where they had two targets, no catches, Chubb and Woody Marks in this game. You have to find guys that are, you know, easy to complete passes to. So I think that is there. It is one thing, but also just the fact that eight different guys caught passes. And I think they all were to Stroud. I guess one could have been Davis. But the fact that he's distributing the ball around, not locking in on Nico Collins, trying to force the big plays as the offense is struggling, that to me shows a level of calmness at the quarterback position that even with the struggles that he's still just trusting what's around him. So I think that's a very big positive thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was really good. Like, he's doing the things that I wanted him to do. Get rid of the football quick, be decisive, ball placement specialist. That touchdown he threw to Xavier Hutchinson, his second one right before the end of the first half, little back shoulder towards the near pylon. Unbelievable throw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put it in the perfect spot. And Stroud even talked about that after the game. He's like, if I have protection, I'm one of the top quarterbacks in the world, basically. Paraphrasing a little bit, but not by much. He said, I'm one of the best to do it whenever I have protection, which is like, okay. All right, CJ. He's starting to double down a little bit on that podcast tour he had a couple of years ago. But you can see it. Like, it's starting to get a little bit of momentum, some finding that groove, all of that. This junkie on the text line, my biggest takeaway is Stroud's confidence is building back up. I think that's the best way to say it. Like, he's starting to find that confidence again. Look, quick game. Put the ball in the hands of your playmakers. Let them make plays. When the coverage softens, take your shot. Take your chance. I like what I'm seeing there, even though they've been one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Sometimes you need a slump buster. John Harbaugh on the Baltimore Ravens, the Houston Texans slump buster. How about that?
You never know. The touchdown to Nico, too. I mean, it's not the tightest windows, but there's obviously a lot of chaos happening. That's a really good
He had to anticipate
ball.
To make that throw.
Yeah, that's a really good throw there. I think the confidence is – it's a good point from the texter. CJ does look more like himself. We saw his first year where he just looks much more comfortable back there. And, guys, he's got a swagger back.
He does. He's got that swagger back. Watt kept talking about, like, those Nico Collins in-breaking digs, which not really digs there, JJ. They're more post. But, like, that's something we didn't see in the first couple of weeks with Nick Caley. Which, Nick Caley, did you watch film with Stroud and Nico Collins? Because Stroud and Nico Collins have had that post chemistry ever since they were united. Like, that's the best play. Whenever you look at the Stroud Nico Collins connection that they've been able to have, so Caley, pleased with that?
Yeah, yeah. I think this is for of all the things that are stepping in the right direction, he is the biggest one. That he was calling plays that worked really well. That touchdown to Noel, I mean, that play is great. The fake toss, mm-hmm. rolling back out to the right, finding an easy guy open, the back shoulder throw to Hutchinson, like that play call there, all of it. He seemed to have a much better command of what he was doing as the play caller for the Houston Texans. That's the biggest positive. Because that can translate.
Even the first touchdown to Xavier Hutchinson I thought was really, really good design. Mm-hmm. Like Hutchinson showing block and then all of a sudden pops free and then runs a little out and he has a step. He has a step. Stroud puts the ball right where it needed to be. Touchdown Houston Texans. So, yeah, I've been pleased with Kaylee while, again, keeping my, you know, tempering my expectations. Tempering my expectations. Not what everybody wants to hear today, but I do think it is the reality of it. This texter on the text line, any quarterback would be good if they have enough protection. I disagree with that. Like, there's inaccurate throwers who, even with the best protection, wouldn't be great. There's a lot of quarterbacks who make terrible decisions, i.e. Will Levis. So, like, and again, it's all relative. Like, you're not going to sit there and protect for 5 seconds. Like, it's you're winning games on the margins here. It's razor thin. Another junkie on the text line, give the ball to Marks more instead of slow, bad word, Chubb. Nick Chubb. Let's have that discussion. What did we think of the running ratio yesterday between Nick Chubb, between Woody Marks, even a British Bulldog sighting? Damian Pierce was active. I love that British Bulldog play just so I could listen to that. I get a kick out of that way more than I should. 713-780-ESPN. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You looking to escape the rat race for the weekend? Maybe the midweek? Maybe you want to get away from a few days? The hustle and bustle of the job, traffic, whatever's causing you stress? Well, you know what the best idea for you is? It's Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. Maybe it's the open green spaces that you love. Maybe you like to see wildlife that you don't see in the city. Maybe you love to look at beautiful, majestic trees. I do. Maybe you like to fish. Maybe you're a fisherman or a fisherwoman. They have the two creeks nestled up to on the boundary of their property. They got a big catch and release pond in the center of their property. Great for the kiddos. Teach them how to fish, how to throw a line into the water. It's only 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're going to be hiking their 92 acres of property in no time. You're going to be kayaking the waters there in no time. Bring the pickleball stuff. They got some pickleball courts out there for you, or you can just hang out by the pool and really get some rest and relaxation. They have the glamping. Glamping is awesome. Cabins right up on the creek. Fantastic. We stayed in the treehouse when we went up there at the beginning of summer. The kids loved it. If you have an RV, pull up the RV. RV hookup spots. They have the perfect stay for everybody, and 20% off right now through your stays in October. And look, they're always taking care of their visitors at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. This weekend, for instance, they have a little Frozen Friday. They got bonfire and s'mores, an outdoor family movie, so great activities. They got activities for the kiddos on Saturday, a kid's craft, kid's activity. Play a little bingo and watch your college football at Swampers. Get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. You'll be glad you did. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-ESPN. Brian's in his bag. He is in his bag. He's pumped up. He's fired up about the Houston Texans going on the road yesterday and doing something that they've never done.
It's always fun to win.
History. Cal got a game ball yesterday. Did you see that?
That's lame.
You don't like it when the coach gives the owner a game ball?
Go Texas.
I think it made sense for Jim Irsay's daughters to get a game ball. You know, after they became the owners of the team.
So it takes death before you can get a game ball, Joe?
I don't think Cal deserves a game ball. Why does he need more?
Because they've never won. The franchise in the history of the organization, they've never won in Baltimore. This is a first. This
Cal
is a big deal for Cal.
Cal is the franchise leader for owners to win in Baltimore.
That's true.
He's got the record.
He is.
Why wouldn't he get a game ball for that? I wish we would have gotten a speech, though. I wish we would have gotten a speech after the game ball, because he kind of just held the football up there like he was toasting the football, which was hilarious. And he also had, like, the handlebar mustaches going, which, like, he's starting to look a little bit like Hulk Hogan. So, like, that's cool. What you gonna do, brother, when Cal Mania runs wild on you?
It's the flat bill hat for me that I just I can't get over it.
Man.
Cal's a vibe more than he's an owner.
For sure. His little thumb ring and stuff.
Did Hannah get one?
Hannah? Well, no. I mean, you know.
Well, she gets half.
Yeah. She might eventually. I mean, you know. That is, I guess that is a little sexist to D'Amico that he gave it to Cal and not Hannah.
Yeah, like, I mean, Hannah's the one that's really the one that's, we all believe, has brought change to the Texans organization.
She's the puppet master, yeah.
Shouldn't she get the game ball for this?
Busby sent out a press release, though, that Kerry McNair is suing for a third of it. He's suing for a third of that game ball yesterday. There's a junkie. You're trying to put in the promo code for Underdog. I think he's misspelling Killer B. K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Just the letter, not the little insect. Killer B, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. I wish we could text our junkies through our text line. That'd be fun. Running game, though. One of the junkies on the text line said that they didn't really care for the distribution of carries yesterday. Now, look, it was garbage time quickly. Like, Damian Pierce got 7 carries yesterday. Mm-hmm. Damian Pierce wouldn't have had a single carry if that game was in jeopardy or if it was a close game yesterday. Like, Pierce got garbage time carries. So while the game was still, I don't even want to say, you know, in the balance, but while the starters and, you know, you're running your ones and all that, Chubb got 11 carries, Woody Marks got 7. Are you okay with the way that they distributed the carries yesterday?
I would like to see Woody Marks get more carries. And we talked last week, I think it was like we said, if there's 30 carries in a game, like a 20-10 split in favor of Woody Marks, obviously that wasn't necessary in this game. So I would like to see, in a situation like this, I would like to see it be more balanced. Because if you take out the 27-yard run that Nick Chubb had, I think they averaged the same amount of yards per carry. I think it was 3.4 yards per carry if you take away Nick Chubb's one big run in the game.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair to do that, though. Like, why are we just, hey, okay, but I'm going to take out Nick Chubb's biggest run so I can lower his average and make it look better against Woody Marks. Well, let's take out Woody Marks' 11 yards, and he had 6 carries for 13 yards.
That's true. That's a good counterpoint, Jeremy. I'm not going to tell you. It's a good counter.
No, okay? I'm okay. Look, I'm okay with going with, like, the hotter hand. Like, Woody Marks is not established as a bona fide, true starting running back one in the NFL. I like the balance that they have, you know? Like, and Woody Marks is going to see more snaps if you're trailing in a game because he's better out of the backfield catching the ball than Chubb is. Marks has shown that he's a pretty good in pass protection. Mm-hmm. Chubb has always been known of being good in pass protection. So I'm okay with the way they handled it yesterday. They scored 44 points and had over 400 yards of total offense. Like, I don't see anything wrong with the usage of their players, unless we're talking about they should have pulled the starters a series or two earlier. Like, I'm not going to complain about the Chubb had 11 and Woody had 7 whenever they scored 44 points and hung 400 yards of offense against a depleted Ravens defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, you can nitpick it, but also it's if you don't have a Derrick Henry, a Saquon Barkley, a guy who is like the clear running back, you mentioned you have to ride the hot hand. And that's where, now, you can disagree with Nick Caley's determination of that, but I think this is what we should kind of expect to see for the near future. I don't know. I don't think it'll last like this the entire season. I think eventually Woody Marks will become the clear running back, but I think what we saw against Baltimore is kind of to be expected for me. So I'm fine with it. I want to see Woody Marks get more touches. You know, I want to see him run the ball on average more than Nick Chubb, but I'm also not going to be up in arms about it after this last game.
No, especially in a game where Chubb was better than Woody Marks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 5.5 yards a carry to 3.5 yards a carry. I mean, I think the way that he deployed his running backs yesterday was fine. And I also like that he got Damian Pierce in there for 7 carries too. Because, like, why would you want, even if you pull Chubb and it's Woody Marks getting 4 of those carries, why would you want Woody Marks taking 4 hits when it's unnecessary whenever he's going to be in a rotation with your first team offense? Like, I like that they got Damian Pierce in there. And then, you know, British Bulldog had a 15-yard. British, but they should have fed him more. 7.5 yards a carry. You know, feed the British Bulldog more. Feed him more.
Feed Nico
Give him
Collins.
The football.
Nico Collins, rush for 8 yards. 8 yards per carry.
And the second best on the team yesterday. C.J. Stroud had 30 yards per carry. Let's give him the ball 10 times. Let's run him up the middle. Let's see what that – I'm just kidding. Obviously, I'm just kidding. 713-780-3776. Junkie on the text line. I've said in the beginning of the season, Stroud is a shotgun quarterback. His decision-making and quickness of the reads much better out of the gun as opposed to under center. Also noticed they are getting to the line of scrimmage a lot quicker, allows him an offensive line to make reads and protection calls. Yeah, that's something that they were critical of themselves about early in the year. Like, we're not getting to the line quick enough. They've been better at that. Again, like, good signs. Good signs. Yes, they'll eventually have to prove it against a good defense, but these are good signs. It could be worse, right? If they scored 7 points against the Ravens and 3 points against the Titans, we'd be calling for a new offensive coordinator right now.
Mm-hmm.
So baby steps. Steps in the right direction. Junkie on the text line. Do the Texans make the playoffs now that CJ is almost a top 10 quarterback now? Not a Texans fan, but with league parity, they have as good a chance as any AFC team to sneak in. So, playoff talk. Are the playoffs back on for the Houston Texans? Let's see. Where do they stand in the conference? I haven't looked at the...
They're 10th currently. They're the 10th
so, they're 2-3. Seventh place is 3-2. I mean, they're only a game back. Mm-hmm. They're a game back of a playoff spot. They are 2 games back of the lead in the AFC South with 2 games against the Colts. Let's walk through it again. Let's walk through the schedule. At Seattle coming off the bye.
I'm going to say loss.
Okay. I'm going to say loss, too. So I have them at 2-4. You have them at 2-4. What do they do against San Francisco?
Loss.
I'm going to give them a win there.
Okay.
They flipped me there. So I'm at 3-4. You're 2-5. You do your own math, Joe. Denver at home.
Win.
Okay, I'm going to go a loss there. So we think that they split those two home games.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, yes.
Okay, so 3-5, home versus Jacksonville.
Win.
I think they get back on track there. 4-5 at Tennessee.
Win.
Yes, 5-5. Home versus the Bills.
Loss.
Who look beatable.
They do, but loss.
Stroud has beaten Josh Allen in Buffalo at home.
That's true.
I also say loss, 5-6. At Indy.
Loss.
Yeah, me too, 5-7. At Kansas City.
Loss.
Yeah, me too, 5-8. Home versus Arizona.
Is this one guy still on the team who
it
dropped the ball?
Matter.
Win.
Yeah, they'll win that. 6-8, home versus the Raiders.
Easy win.
7-8, at L.A.,
this is where I'm flipping. Win.
See, they have so many injuries. They lost Hampton yesterday, too.
Yeah, and the interception that Justin Herbert threw there in the red zone was atrocious.
Yeah, but it's at L.A.
I'm going to chalk that one up to a loss.
I'm going to put that one at 7-9.
I think I trust the Texans' defense just to win it on their own in that game. Like, I think that's an offense that could fall apart and look really bad against the Texans.
And then the last week against the Colts.
I'll say win.
See, I think I could see them splitting those last two. Like, I don't know which combination, but going 1-1 in those last two games. But that puts me at 8-9.
I've got them at 9-8.
Okay.
So, I increased it by a win after this weekend.
I think we actually discussed this yesterday. Like, if we discussed if the Texans beat Baltimore convincingly, what would it do to your win total? And I said that it would jump it by 2, and it did. I said 6, but I did have them losing to Baltimore, which was a terrible take, which is good. It was an emotional hedge.
You just made the list.
Yeah, it's fine. Emotional hedge. Although I'm 0-2 betting against the Texans the last 2 weeks, so I might need to cool it.
Keep doing it. No, keep betting them.
You're right. I need to continue to do it for the sake of the city.
Yeah,
I'm doing it for
the reason.
I'm putting on for the H.
Yep.
Is what I'm doing. So I still have them at 8-9. 8-9 is not going to get the playoffs.
No, I've got them at 9-8. I don't know if 9-8 gets you in the playoffs either, because while there's teams that are currently. The teams that are in the playoffs currently, I don't believe in all of them. Like, I don't believe in Jacksonville in the long term. But, like, I think I'm a believer in New England. I'm a believer in Kansas City. So, it's going to be tough at 9-8 to make the playoffs this year. We haven't really seen a lot of – in the new playoff format, we have not seen a lot of below 500 teams make the playoffs. It's not a very common occurrence. I mean, last year in the NFC, not a single team had less than 10 wins in the playoffs. I think there was one in the AFC last year. So, it's not easy – to make the playoffs, even with the expansion, to make it with 9. I'm sorry, no one made it last year with 9 wins in either conference.
Well, it's tough because you have an extra game. So, like, you add a team, but you add an extra game. So, like, 9 wins, like, used to maybe get you in at 9-7, where now at 9-8 it's a little bit more difficult. Although, like, some of the – like, the AFC North, you might get 9 wins to win the division outright. But a wild card would be more difficult. Texter, the AFC North is what everybody thought the AFC South would be. Do you see the Ravens are still favored to win the AFC North?
Are they really?
Yep. At least in one book. I saw one book, like, they were minus 130 to to win the AFC North.
Sometimes I just don't understand. I don't understand Vegas. I mean, that's why they do what they do. But like college, not NFL. But like, I was shocked when I saw Texas as the favorite this weekend against Oklahoma.
What? Well, I mean,
like, blew my mind with how they've played.
What's the number?
2.5. Last I saw.
Mateer's probably out.
I'm guessing that's why.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But
that's interesting. Interesting line.
That surprises me that the Ravens are still the favorite. They must really not believe in Pittsburgh then.
No, clearly not. I mean, Pittsburgh's been kind of meh. Like, they've won very close games against some less than competition. Texans beat the Ravens practice squad. Wouldn't use that game as a baseline. No one's using that game as a baseline. Like, how are we doing that? Like, we're certainly not. Maybe the internet is. Maybe the people that are apologizing to Nick Cayley are. Maybe the ones that are like, yeah, C.J. Stroud, top five quarterback. Like, no one on this show is doing that. Like, we're all very aware that they beat a depleted Ravens team that played their junior varsity. Like, we're not using that game as a baseline. We're saying it's a step in the right direction. It's better to have seen that 44 points, 400 yards, than it was to see 19 points, 230 yards. Like, you needed to see what you needed to see for this offense to have a chance the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Plus, Joe had him at 9-8. I have him at 8-9. Like, what are we doing here? We're not fluffing them up.
Yeah, and when they the next time they go to Baltimore, whenever that ends up being, because next year Baltimore comes here. And no one's going to be like, well, they've got their first win. Can they make it two in a row? We're all going to be looking back and say, all the good Ravens were out of this game.
Sure.
Like this win almost, it's your first win in Baltimore, but it almost doesn't count.
Yeah, it almost doesn't. I agree with you. How many wins to take this division? See, the Colts are good, man. Like the Colts are a good football team. Now, could Daniel Jones get hurt next week and miss the rest of the year? That's kind of his MO. And if they bring in Anthony Richardson, that's a much different football team than how Daniel Jones is currently playing. But if Daniel Jones stays healthy, I think it's going to take like 11 wins at minimum to win this division.
Yeah, they're playing so well right now. It's hard to imagine them not getting to at least 10 wins. And then, I mean, what they did to the Raiders yesterday was embarrassing. Geno Smith is awful, but they lost their kicker and they're having to go for two the entire game, and their schedule's not as challenging.
No.
Like, the only really good teams that the Colts play this year, the remainder of the year, they play the Chargers, the Steelers, the Chiefs, but they don't play the Seahawks and the 49ers until the end of the season. Their schedule is much easier than the Texans. So
yeah.
I think they're going to get to 11 wins this season. So to win the division, you're going to have to win 11 games and beat them twice, probably.
Did you see these holes that Jonathan Taylor was getting?
They're massive.
Like, you could drive a truck through these holes. B-Mac could gain 5 yards against defenses with the holes that the Indianapolis Colts offensive line is generating. It's insane how many yards they're opening up for Taylor. And Taylor's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jonathan Taylor's good at football, obviously. Like, their offense is legit, man. They're one of my favorite offenses to watch in the NFL right now.
They got to be up there. They're getting everyone involved. Tyler Warren's incredible. I mean, the impact he's making right away as a rookie is unbelievable. But they're getting the ball to all these different guys. I can't really buy into this Daniel Jones thing, but I'm having a hard time not to.
Even if you don't buy into Daniel Jones, though, what worries me is it proves that Shane Steichen is that guy.
Yep.
And even if they move on from Daniel Jones at the end of the year, as long as Shane Steichen's there and it's not like literally the worst passing quarterback of all time with Anthony Richardson that he's got to work with, that he's going to be doing some dangerous things for the Texans.
I know you're doing it to prove a point, but in what world do they let Daniel Jones go?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just playing out the scenario. Like, even if you don't believe in Daniel Jones, if change the name, as long as it's not Anthony Richardson, they're going to be really scary in offense.
Yeah,
hell, they should have beat you with Gardner. Let's be real. Gardner Minshew a couple years ago, if that running back catches the ball in the flat, they beat you in that game. You don't make the playoffs in 23.
That's the only way I know to be, Brian, is real. 713-780-3776. How about the defensive side? Do we need to be giving D'Amico Ryans and this defense some flour? How about Jalen Petrie, huh? How about the game that he had? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. How about the vehicles in Monument Chevrolet, huh? They hung 40. They put up 400 yards because Monument Chevrolet is the dealership that you can trust. No one likes the car shopping process unless you've bought at Monument Chevrolet in the past, because you don't know the sticker prices. Are they upcharging you? They get you in that room with the guy who's trying to give you every warranty known to man, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. It's daunting. It's no fun. That's why Monument Chevrolet takes all of that stuff out of it. It's why people go to Monument Chevrolet and continue going back to Monument Chevrolet's, because they enjoy the process. You can feel it the moment you step foot on their lot. You can feel it the moment you step foot in their showroom. It's why Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years and have helped generations get into vehicles, because these families just keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing. It's a family feel, great culture, friendly atmosphere, great people. You're going to get a fair deal, a fast deal, and an easy deal without wasting your time and aggravating stressful negotiations that no one wants to do and has time for. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. Go online, visit them at monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com. Check out their full inventory. They got it all. Or just go stop by in person. They got a massive lot out there, Beltway 8 and 225. They have road names. Their lot is so big. So go check them out at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I'm on top of the world.
I don't know how I feel about this song.
Really? This song's good.
What's the opposite of macho?
Of macho?
Yeah. What's the
wimpy?
Opposite of macho? Yeah, yeah. Kind of a wimpy song.
I enjoy this song. Honestly, I'm surprised you like any music that Brian plays. You don't seem like much of a music person.
No, Branham's anti-music.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-music.
Branham feels like a musical is what I would call him. Like, he's just kind of indifferent.
I'm not anti-music. I like good music. A lot.
Like, what do you listen to in the car?
Because
I know you don't listen to sports radio.
No, I listen to a lot of things. Usually not music.
Podcast, right?
No, usually not podcasts.
Are you like CJ Stroud? Do you listen to like your old like high school tapes of doing play by play?
What are you, Stupid Five?
No.
Just on loop.
I listen to the Bible app on a lot of drives. I'll listen to press conference audio. Honestly,
don't fall asleep, man.
That's usually whenever I sit. Like, it depends on like. No, it's usually when I listen to my press conference audio, because, I mean, I like to listen to all of it in case there's a diamond in the rough there, you know? So I listen to a bunch of press conference audio there, normal team, like, you know, home team, opposing team. What else do I listen to? I like to stay current with what's hot, so I'll do a little, if I have time for music, I'll do a little, like, top 100 music. I'll go through the countdown like I'm Carson Daly. What else do I listen to? Selena on Pandora. I'm still one of those weird Pandora guys. Okay. Like, that's one of my favorite channels. It depends on my mood, though. Because I put on a little George Strait if I want to get down into my fillers. If I want to fill a thing or two, you know, a little George Strait. There's a lot of stuff. But music's not that high on the priority list. Brian's right there. But I'm not anti-music. I like music.
Yeah, I mostly listen to podcasts when I'm by myself. And, well, now I really have to listen by myself because... Man, I was listening to Pardon My Take the other day with Joseph in the car. Not good. Bad.
I mean, to be fair, like, you should have known that going in.
I know, but when he's dropped an F-bomb right back, and he's like, Daddy, what did they just say? And he said it, and I was like, that's not good. I'm in trouble. I'm about to get killed by my wife.
Yeah, you got to be careful there. Bronco says, dang, Pandora, you're a boomer, J-Bone. I told you I am. I'm a millennial who identifies as a boomer. You got to be careful with those podcasts, though. I listen to Rogan every now and then, depending on the guest. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I listen to. Like, I'll bookmark a lot of audio I see on Twitter, but I don't want to waste 2.5 minutes at home. So I'll bookmark it, and then I'll listen to it, like, when I'm in the car. Because I have a bit of a commute most days.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of... yeah, but usually music's not on that high on that list, to be fair to Brian. But I like music. I like good music, at least. Battery Chuck, Branham's into Broadway hits. You know, I'm personally, I don't mind them. I don't, like, seek them out. But it's funny you say that because my wife will actually put that on for the kids. Like, she has a channel on her wherever she listens to music of Broadway hits that the kids really like. So not that far off the path there, Battery Chuck. All right, anyways, enough about Brian's poor choice of music intros. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Alex, you're in the junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
A couple of things I wanted to ask you. I know you guys have talked about the Texans and in the past the O-line issues and things like that. I'm just curious, how much of that do you think is because of the strength of training? It seems like the really good teams have really good strength of training programs in place, medical staff, this and that. I wonder what you guys think the Texans rank in terms of the league and how much of their problems may be attributed to that, because I feel like that doesn't get a lot of coverage.
Interesting.
And then real quick on college football, is it just me or does it seem like college football has been really insane this year compared to other years, and how much of that do you think it's the NIL or is it something else? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
I'll tackle college football first here. I think it's part of it's because the rankings were bad to start the season, so it feels a little more chaotic. It is chaotic, but like I think the rankings were definitely very off at the start of the season. That I know we've talked about Jeremy shouldn't exist, but we're seeing a lot of teams that were in the top 25. I think it's 8 teams that were in the top 25 to start the season are not currently ranked right now, so that's part of it. I mean, in terms of like the strength and conditioning, to me the Texans are largely a healthy football team. You know, we don't see, they're not, you know, the Ravens, what they're going through right now. They're not the Astros, so I think that's also a good indicator. I wouldn't imagine like the struggles are because of strength and conditioning and training of the offensive line struggles for this team.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, to be frank, Alex. Like I think that strength and conditioning is highly underrated. I think it's very, very important. We probably don't really give it much mind because it's hard to really see. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to be like, okay, are the Texans working out harder than the Titans? Like where does that show up? And then also the margins between the best strength and conditioning staff in the NFL and the worst strength and conditioning staff in the NFL isn't that great. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's going to be pretty tight because they're probably all the top 32 strength and conditioning minds in the entire world. So I think you could see that stuff maybe more in college, but it's probably tangible. It's just very hard to identify with the naked eye. But no, I think it carries a lot more weight than we most put into it. And then I also agree with your college football take. I think it is an IL. I think it's hard to build continued dominance whenever you have a league, college football, for lack of a better word, that has the roster turnover that it does. Like it's very hard to build on that continued success. And then also, what are these players doing? Like you might get a huge offer as a freshman to go play at Oregon or wherever. Here's $1 million. You can come be our third string running back or whatever. And then what do they do if they don't play? They either redshirt so they don't lose a year of eligibility, or they're transferring at the end of the years to go somewhere they can play. Mm-hmm. So I think it does help the parity, oddly enough, because a lot of people thought it'd be the other way. Like, oh, these teams are going to be able to afford every single player, and the gap's going to grow, where the gap actually shrunk. It actually got smaller. There's a Tulane running back who was a Tulane last year who's a stud. He went to Oregon. He's their third string. He decided to redshirt the rest of the year so he doesn't lose eligibility. So, like, these really good players, if they're not starting, they're going somewhere else. So it's hard to build continued success because of the roster turnover. And then the rosters are getting thinner and other ones are getting strengthened, depending on how it goes. So I do think the NIL has led to the parity there. All right, 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. Junkie says Levi Lesko podcast. You've ever heard of him?
No.
I've never heard of him. I'll check it out. Okay, I Googled him. I'll put this in the queue, Junkie. I'll check this out, see what he's all about. Another Junkie on the text line that said that Brian's song, not the movie, made me feel like I was listening to John and Lance. I don't know if that's an insult or if it's a compliment. I don't know.
I feel like another, Dell might take that as an insult.
Another, oh yeah, he might. You're right. Because another Junkie on the text line, this song is peak Caucasian essence. Maybe that's why y'all like it and I don't.
Yep.
I never said I liked it. I was trying to match the winning vibe.
Oh, okay. So you're back. You're back.
Yeah, no, peddling. I don't like Imagine Dragons at all.
Okay. All right. Joe's the only one that likes it. He's peak Caucasian essence.
Yes.
You look at Joe and you think that too.
Standard white guy.
Yeah, I go to Starbucks. I get a pumpkin spice latte sometimes on the way to work.
No way.
You're wearing a Notre Dame hat.
Yeah.
Remember when I asked earlier what's the opposite of macho? I think you just answered it.
Pumpkin spice latte. Don't be hating on my pumpkin spice, Jeremy. It's good.
It's still 98 degrees outside.
They have iced pumpkin spice.
Oh man, let's go to break. I am hot and bothered. 713-780-3776. The Junkies have some thoughts on the Texans game. We'll get your thoughts on it as well. I'll get to the defense too. We haven't got there yet. Jalen Petrie. Do we owe Jalen Petrie an apology? People are apologizing to Kaylee for some reason. Do we owe Jalen Petrie? Or do I owe Jalen Petrie an apology? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You know, I love HR&P. The people there are fantastic. You know, you got Mike Holley over there. Go Cougs. He used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he's protecting businesses for 25 years. Chris Fisher's over there. Chris Fisher, one of the best people you'll ever meet. And what I love about HR&P, too, is whenever you make fun of a coworker's pumpkin spice latte, they got my back. They got my back. Makes me bulletproof, even. That's not true. But I do love HR&P, human resources and payroll. Business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you in HR compliance. They can help you in benefits administration. They can help with your payroll. That's always annoying and no fun. They can help you onboard your new employees. You don't want to waste time there, right? Get HR&P. They can help you there. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P is going to completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, no problem. HR&P is going to find a way to help you. Their technology is fantastic. They had the best technology in the game. They're going to be keeping you up to date with the trends in the business world. Great, great partner to have in your corner, and their service is phenomenal. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you, and they know your business needs. The other day, like, I forget everything. I lose everything. I needed my insurance information. Fired off a quick email to my guy at HR&P. I got it within minutes. Within minutes. How helpful is that? So take care of your employees too, you employers out there. So give them a call, 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.